Your deadpan
is built to take a lot of punishment, far beyond anything you will ever give to it. Just how much will it take? Well,
Jack Mangan podcast
through plenty of torture to find out. And here's a special test to prove what this
podcast
is made of. Towed along at over 40 miles an hour, the
podcast
is released as a ramp smashes against the front wheel with tons of force. And
deadpan
can take it standing up. Yes, our
deadpan
has to take a lot of punishment from forces like these and from other elements too.
Hey, and welcome to Deadpan number 205.
Hey, and welcome to Deadpan number 205. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, and Skype is going to boop in the background, as well as the keyboard clicks. I am walking in slow motion away from a two-story tall explosion. And we actually do have a decent amount of content in this episode. We'll see if it makes it all the way to our usual length. But best way to describe a lot of the content that we have is it's not hockey anthems. That's the content I received. I received a whole bunch of not hockey anthems. So, all right, let's play. First, let's go on to a promo for a great friend of the Deadpan and a familiar voice around here. And then we'll get on with the not hockey anthem content.
From the author that brought you V&A Shipping comes a new audiobook that's sure to make you sit up and think, what? Is this guy crazy or something? I mean, he keeps writing these weird books and they don't make a whole lot of sense or anything. I mean, how does he expect me to? For a barbarian, life is simple. Hunt, eat, build. There's not much else. But for Billy Barbarian, there has to be more to life. So he's decided to head down to the big city and check things out for himself. In the mighty, booming metropolis of Sethopolis, Billy seeks employment and finds it. His first job is to protect Miss Celine Dijon while she's giving a concert at Stump Arena. Through his assignment, Billy gets to meet the famous real estate developer Ronald Stump. But the fun and joy don't last long, as Billy uncovers a plot against Miss Celine's life. Can this sturdy barbarian do what needs to be done to protect her? Is he strong enough and quick-witted enough? Join Billy on his adventure with dragons, skyscrapers, wizards, and evil plots as he tries to keep Ms. Celine safe. Will his first job in the big city be his last? Find out! Billy Barbarian is a new podcast novel from author J.R. Murdoch. Find out more at jrmurdoch.com or ofgnomesanddwarves.com, and now available on podiobooks.com.
This is Dr. Zoidberg. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Oh,
Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Pop in your earbuds.
Hey, Deadpan, this is Usecare calling in my earbuds exchange information. I had Retro for my earbuds exchange person, and knowing that he's in a similar age group to myself, I sent in something a little older for him. I sent in Count Floyd is Back by Joe Flaherty. I picked it because it's extremely obscure, and the humor should come off whether somebody knows where Count Floyd comes from or not. Like the rest of SCTV, Flaherty can be really hit or miss with me, mostly miss, but and when he nails it, he really nails it.
Standing tall and rigid on a mountaintop, while a helicopter camera circles around me, taking in the sprawling landscape.
Hello, Deadpan. Just a Joe here. As some of you know from the Deadpan forums, I spent several days last week helping my sister out after her house was destroyed by a tornado. My experience in that disaster zone was so much different than you might see on TV or in the movies that I wanted to share it with you. In her neighborhood, some 30 houses were reduced to rubble. Another 30 were made unlivable. From the air, many of these houses looked like piles of confetti partially blown across neighboring yards. From the ground, they appear to be mounds of lumber with a smatter of randomly recognizable furniture and appliances scattered throughout. I've kind of come to the conclusion that completely different laws of physics operate inside a tornado, but that's a geek topic for another time. What I wanted to share is what happens after the disaster. On TV, when something like this happens, men in uniforms descend on the area and cordon everything off. Families and onlookers are kept a safe distance away while safety workers go through the rubble. In real life, though, what happens is that emergency responders come in and dig for survivors. Once they've rescued everyone or accounted for and removed the bodies, the authorities basically leave. And so there you stand, with your stuff spread all over the world. I mean, where your kitchen once was, water's fountaining up from a broken pipe where your sink had been. Your purse had been on the counter next to that sink. You maybe see the bottom of a dresser sticking out from under a bit of wall over there, and that would have most of your clothes in it since the bedroom closet's nowhere to be seen. Or you remember that your glasses are in the glove box of your car, which is sticking out of a mound of lumber in your neighbor's yard. You want any of that stuff? Climb on into the rubble and go look for it, because no one's coming to do that for you. If it were one or two homes, there might actually be someone to tell you, hey, this isn't safe, or we'll have a backhoe here in a bit to pull that car free. But in a disaster on this scale, it's basically all in your hands. The lucky ones have friends and family close by who'll come and help pick through the debris to look for their stuff. And I do mean pick. She had a bunch of coworkers. The boss where she worked actually sent an email to coworkers asking for, you know, basically letting anybody off work who'd come and help her. And a bunch of them came and rushed to her house, and for days, 3 or 4 days, they helped her try to salvage stuff, picking through the debris. At another house, a young couple dug through splintered lumber and broken glass looking for anything that might seem salvageable. And it turns out they were doing this for friends of theirs who were on their honeymoon and didn't even know their house had been destroyed yet. And at another home, an elderly woman was trying to pick through her mound of rubble to find her husband's insulin kit. Several others with destroyed homes, to include my sister and a 10-year-old boy from the neighborhood, helped her search for 2 hours, and the boy actually found the kit. One of the few items my sister really wanted to find was a piece of artwork that her recently deceased son had made for her when he was 4. 3 days after the tornado, she was pulling a wet mound of insulation and sheetrock out of her pantry in the kitchen, and there it was, trapped underneath. Had she not actually been looking for it, she probably would have just thrown it out with that stuff. The other item she wanted was the silver door knocker that had been a gift from her son. We never did find her front door. And so this brings me to another interesting point. If you ever do have a friend or family whose home is damaged by some disaster, don't ask them, what can we do for you, or what do you want me to do? These people are so mentally overwhelmed with the enormity of everything that needs to be done, most just shut down. Few people are trained to go into this sort of crisis management mode. So don't ask them. Instead, just get every Tupperware bin, laundry basket, and box you can get hold of, and get a van or a pickup truck or even rent a U-Haul and go to their house and say, yep, we're here to help you pick up. We'll get it all loaded up and you can sort through it later. Just remember to bring good gloves and sturdy boots. And in situations like these, there are plenty of ways to make yourself part of the emergency. And as it turns out, you're going to be the only one out there who can keep that from happening. Thanks.
You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
Hey, Deadpan, it's Espy. Driving to work in an April snowstorm, listening to Deadpan 202. And I am continuously frustrated that I cannot play on the boards during my workday anymore because of Evil Inc. Security measures. So I just wanted to leave a voicemail with something I would post on the board if I had the freedom to do so. New Dan from Oregon said, air quotes, raw, hard, athletic sex. And that is all. Bye-bye.
Driving alone, wordlessly at night, with the streetlights reflecting on the windshield, thinking deep thoughts while some song from the soundtrack album plays.
Hello, Deadpan. This is Retro. For the Deadpan Earbuds Exchange, Used Hair sent me somewhat of a curveball. While I had sent him a piece of music whose subject matter was somewhat tragic, Used Hair sent me a comedy song. As such, it makes comparisons between our choices somewhat impractical, but I will soldier on anyway. Used Hair sent me the song, Count Floyd is Back.
All right, everybody now, come on, let's get it together.
Count Floyd is back.
That's right, I'm telling you.
Count Floyd is back.
Ah, sing it, Wally, give it me.
Written and performed by comedian Joe Flattery. Upon seeing the title, the very vague memory of Count Floyd from Second City Television, aka SCTV, started to come back to me. Way back when I was in middle school, on Saturday nights, I used to stay up late after Saturday Night Live had finished to watch SCTV. It was judged by myself and friends at the time to be the funniest show ever. If you do a YouTube search for Fish Police SCTV, you can find the one SCTV skit I found most memorable. Anyway, what do I have to say about the song Count Floyd is Back? Not a whole lot, really. I think that Joe Flattery did a great job of staying in character from start to finish. The backing band sounded authentically clueless about what the Count was doing and had an acceptable rock reggae beat, but I think that unless you are a die-hard Count Floyd fan, you'll mostly find the comedy mildly amusing. For my own taste, I like my comedy songs to be extremely zany, like the songs by Jonathan Coulton, or the UK band, Sack Trick.
Yes, we're supposed to meet for the Kiss concert. He said he had some work to finish up.
Amazing, isn't it? I'm known to soon take over most of man's menial work. But my people are far superior. They're almost human.
That's all for now. Until next time.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan. The coolest thing to hit your computer since you spilled that cold soda last week.
Walking fast, but unhurriedly, with blazing automatic pistols in each of my hands, firing simultaneously to the left and to the right of me.
Also, calling you new, Dan, I like. I hope you like it, Dan. It reminds me of Rescue Me and... the new Sean that joined the crew that they ended up calling Black Sean for a little while. I like that. So, new Dan, keep on recording stuff and sending it in. Bye.
It's like butter. It's like butter, baby. 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 It's like butter.
Calmly lighting a cigar and paying no attention to the thugs crowding around me, all of them making extravagant, threatening gestures.
Hey, Deadpan, Paul Mackey. I just went outside and to drop off my lunch bag in the car, because, you know, that's what I do. It smells like chocolate out there. I'm not sure why, but it just smells like chocolate. And this isn't some sort of, like, you know, set up for some sort of Deadpan bar thing with a... great big universal traveler guy who drinks a lot. Actually, it does really smell like chocolate. For reals. Can't believe I just said for reals. Okay, for punishment, I guess I'll go into the deafening room. Alright, Deadpan's away.
Hello, this is Curtin St. George. I listen to Jack Mangan's Deadpan podcast, so I don't have to kill people. You... don't listen to Jack Mangan's Deadpan podcast. It's not healthy. Just saying, Deadpan is the way.
Facing off against some tough guy, squinting and saying, "Your move," in my best gravelly voice, cocking my head slightly to the side.
Deadpan, this is Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador, bringing you a dumbass memory. I wanted to tell you about the stupid morning I had today, Thursday, April 28th, 2011. So I got a new job this week. The office is in a neighborhood that I don't know very well. I wanted to get some lunch before work today, and I remembered seeing that there was a Subway and a Starbucks nearby. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go to the Subway to get some lunch before work. I know it's right next to the Starbucks. So I turned into the shopping center where the Starbucks was. And then I looked around a little bit, and there's no Subway there. And I went, huh? I'm confused. So I looked around a little more, and then I realized there is a Starbucks and a Subway in this neighborhood, but they're on opposite sides of the street from each other. So I was running short on time, so I decided to go into the Starbucks and get a sandwich instead. So I did. And then I got back to my car and realized I don't have a key to this car. It must have fallen out of my pocket while I was walking back from the Starbucks. So I went and spent several minutes looking around. Thank goodness I did find my key to the car on the ground. So here I am, going to show up a couple minutes late again. Not very impressive for my first week. So that was my stupid morning. Deadpan is the way. And I'm really glad that I can share these things with the Deadpan community. And I can laugh at myself, and I'm glad we can all laugh at ourselves around here. Bye-bye.
In one swift movement, drawing my sword and hacking down my attacker, then holding the follow-through pose for far longer than is necessary or safe.
Right now is the saddest I've ever been. Until now. Sad, sad, sadder than sad. I'm sad.
Hey, this is Used Hair calling in for my earbuds reaction. Retro sent me Nevermore by the Lotus Eaters. Although I used to listen to heavy metal up to and including Iron Maiden in the 80s, I have to admit that the genre sort of passed me by. I never even made it as far as Metallica. As a rule of thumb, I consider a piece of music too hard if it crosses either of two thresholds. The first is a prevalent, driving, droning guitar. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Sort of like what Butthead does when he's jamming out. The second is the presence of the incomprehensible demon voice. If I hear either of those things, I'm immediately turn off the music. Fortunately, Nevermore did not cross either of those thresholds. However, it did swagger on up to the threshold and say nanny nanny poo a little bit. I do have to give props to the Poe references in the lyrics. Much of what made me like Iron Maiden was the plethora of literary references. My first impression of the song was sad. So, so sad. Not that I don't like sad music, but I have to be in just the right mood to really enjoy it. I suppose the next time I'm in the mood to listen to Chris Rea's The Road to Hell album, I'll have to give this song another listen. Till then, I'll have to consider this a pretty good song, just not a great song.
Sad, sad, sadder than sad.
Flicking my lit match end over end in slow motion, to have it land in the pooling gasoline, while the trapped bad guy's eyes go wide, then walking away while he screams helplessly. Wow, that sounded kind of like Talking Heads. There's water at the bottom of the ocean. All right. Got a bunch this week. Lost Ralph, CD, Worldwide Imperial Stout from Dogfish Head, Roast and Dark Fruits with the Aroma and Taste. I'm giving this a 4 out of 5, about equal to Mephistopheles, but for different reasons. SP says, "Oh, good Lord, I had to hold my laptop up close to see what that picture was." Retro says, "Lowe's Starbucks link reminded me of this one. http://www.theonion.com/article/new-starbucks-opens-in-restroom-of-existing-starb-560. Ditto says, "I'm picking out a faucet for you. Not an ordinary faucet for you, but the extra best faucet that you can buy, with vinyl and stripes and a cup built right in." The Energizer Bunny, this is actually not randomly selected because this is pertinent, says, "By the way, here are the standings so far. Round one, J.R. Murdoch sings Shania Twain. Jack sings Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under? Jack sings Kiss, Detroit Rock City. Done. Ed from Texas sings Grateful Dead, Estimated Profit. CJ sings Mel C and Brian Adams When You're Gone. Ditto sings Rocky Theme, Gonna Fly Now, Optional. Energizer Bunny sings Boston's Don't Look Back. Lost Ralph sings Aerosmith, Lightning Strikes. Nobody Had New York, So Nobody Sings for Lopan. Round two, Lopan sings Aerosmith, Lightning Strikes. Nomad Scry sings Mel C and Brian Adams When You're Gone. Nobody Had Philadelphia, So They Don't Have to Sing. And the San Jose-Detroit series is still going on." And actually, she's correct. The San Jose-Detroit series will be decided tomorrow night, and then we will know whether Ed from Texas... No, Ed is already done. Whether SB is doing Detroit Rock City or whether Retro is doing Estimated Profit. Anyway, Nomad Scry says, "Finally listening to this week's Deadpan and cracking up over Jack trying to remember that guy's name, the one with a V in the middle of it. Okay, so maybe I had to be there, ellipsis." SP says, "CW, the Judds on OWN, against my will, by force, also quitting smoking again." Reaper says, "But Barney was just a big Muppet, right? Star, run, star." First of the week, Vanamon says, "The cake is a lie. 550-ish. All right, there actually are some of you out there who have not yet turned in your earbud stuff. That would be awesome. There are all of you, except me, who have not yet turned in your NHL playoffs owings. Remember, you don't actually have to do that song. You can also compose or select an existing poem about the victorious city. And hey, I actually talked semi-recently to Pip and T about the next Deadpan Palooza, and I suppose it's time. This time there will only be 3 on the ballot, instead of having 25, you know, so Vanamond or CJ can cheat. What we're going to do is we're going to have 3, and the 2 that are there for sure are Blade Runner, any version, and you can certainly feel free to incorporate the source material to Android's Dream of Electric Sheep, the novella by Philip K. Dick, Blade Runner, Buckaroo Banzai, and now for the 3rd, they wanted me to keep the alliteration and have a B movie. Or I suppose you could have the Berenstain Bears B book. But I think the 3rd option has got to be The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Especially, you know, just a little bit of synchronicity there. I'm releasing this episode on the 10th anniversary of Douglas Adams' death. That doesn't mean we have to do Hitchhiker's Guide. Again, with Hitchhiker's Guide, you can do whatever. The radio shows, the books, the first TV series, the movie, whatever. Some combination thereof. So there you go. For the next Palooza, we will either do Buckaroo Banzai, Blade Runner, or Hitchhiker's Guide. And hey, let's say this. Those will be the next 3. So vote on what's going to come next, and then following that will be one of the other 2. All right, enough outro fucking babble. Thank you for being Deadpan. Deadpan has been the way for 5 years, and will continue to be the way at least for a little while longer. 2011 has been awfully, awfully cruel. But, you know, when I say fuck 2011, please, please recognize that I have it all in perspective, and I recognize the absolute miracle that is there every day. And speaking of that miracle, we're going to do that Deadpan Kid-focused episode soon. So if you have children out there and you would like to get them involved, and if you think that they would have a good time getting involved, then let's do this. Let's have a fun Deadpan-related episode, kid-related Deadpan episode. See, outro babble, exhausted babble. Good night, Mush. Good night, Brain. I'm not coming back. after the music. Oh, wait, this isn't the kid episode yet, so I'm not coming back after the fucking music. I got to go and fucking choose what it's going to be. Yes, very mature. Good night, Mush.
And I expect some singing along on this one, actually. Lee on the motherfucking bass. Wow.
Getting shot or stabbed in the arm, then, in the next frame, lifting something extremely heavy over my head. Getting shot or stabbed in the leg, then limping in the next frame, then full-on sprinting again in the next. Landing hard in a dramatic crouch with one hand on the ground in front of me, looking quickly up. By the way, kudos, massive kudos to Justa Joe and all the good people who rallied and came together and helped each other out in a time of crisis and in the aftermath of a crisis. Seriously, Justa Joe is the motherfucking way.